The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once-a-week, only-on-Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 10 other ways to get real estate financing. But before we get started, I'd just like to touch base with you guys as I really enjoy on Fridays. That's why Fridays are so fun. They're fun fact Fridays, right? Well, anyway, I'd like to just to touch base with you guys. I know you guys, if you've been listening to the show for a little while, you know that we are looking to move out of California. So my wife and I have kind of put together this road trip we're going to do. It's going to be kind of tied into our anniversary. 32 years. Can you believe that? 32 years of marriage. Absolute marriage bliss, if you ask me. But hey, it's, you know, that's me. Okay. Hope you're listening, honey. No, anyway, we're really looking forward to it. We're going to fly into, I think, Dallas, Fort Worth, first stop, checking out sort of northern Texas. We're going to fly down to Florida after that, Miami, and then we're going to go up to sort of the West Coast and, you know, check both sort of South Florida and the West Coast of Florida. And then we're going to be going up to Tennessee. So we're hitting three different states on this little trip, and we are really looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. So hey, if you guys know some great places, you know, we're checking out real estate. We're, you know, not that we're going to be investing yet, because it's still more than a year, and I know the way that things are listed today are gone tomorrow. So I just want to get a feel for places, but that's the area that we're really investing in, this sort of that, you know, southeast part of the United States. And that's, you know, I'd be close to my other properties. And plus I think that there's just a lot of great opportunities there. We have a daughter also in Ohio, so we'll be able to spend time with her and our grandkids there. So we're real buzzed about it. We're just trying to figure out again which state and what other factors are there. So hey, if you know you've got any ideas or places we should check out, some awesome, you know, places that also might have some cool real estate stuff, let us know. Let's do the tip for the day. The tip for the day is something that a lot of people have experience with, and that is paying construction costs before job completion. I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to that have done this, and for some reason, it just doesn't go well. And you'll make this mistake, and you'll soon wish you hadn't. Paying for a construction job before it's 100% complete gives the contractor no incentive to return to finish the job. You'll get frustrated and angry as you waste your time chasing a contractor who is spending this time trying to finish jobs that he hasn't gotten paid for. Even if he has the best intentions in his mind, when he is paid, the job is done. There is no pain in not showing up again, and he is not focused on his next payday. I mean, I know people that have just disappeared, and that people have had to track them down, or maybe they'll see somebody that owes them, you know, the completion on their job and they're at another job. I mean, I've heard all kinds of nightmares. So, you know, never make that last payment until your job is 100% complete. And if you can get in there for, you know, less money down, you know, 20% down or something like that to get them going on the job, I would do that because the incentive will always be there. Man, I want to collect that other 80%, or even if it's a 50% down thing, you know, they're going to want to go for that the other 50%. So no matter how small the task is that is left, no matter how much he needs the money, you know, now, you need to make sure that you can hold back those funds as much as you can to get that job done. If you don't do that, you might as well assume that you will have to finish that job yourself or pay someone else to do it. Well, that's the tip for today. Let's move on to our topic, 10 other ways to get real estate financing. Okay, so if you're considering becoming a real estate investor, you may also be wondering how to finance it. The majority of real estate investors are either doing it as a side hustle, outside investment, or maybe they're self-employed business persons who earn incomes by wholesaling, flipping, generating cash flow through rental income, which is what we're doing here, or passive investors and syndications. And there's a lot of other things, deeds and liens, and there's a lot of different ways to invest in real estate. But getting started is really a key thing. And if you're going to build a business, okay, that's even a bigger thing. And I say that because there are a lot of casual investors or people that have, hey, I've got some rental properties over here, and I just reported on my personal income taxes. And it's great. I, you know, get tax write-offs and that's fine. But if you're looking to maybe ramp up something bigger or to build a sizable portfolio, you're going to want to get a business in place. Now, even though most people will do, you know, their real estate investing alone or with a spouse or perhaps a partner, there are those who may want to do something bigger. And that means scaling up faster so you can build an organization so that you can just oversee it, you know, set up systems so that it can run with just a few key people that you delegate to that have responsibilities and that report to you. And that frees you up, especially in your retirement years, so that you can do the things you want to do. And that, you know, that's sort of our ideal goal here, isn't it? Now, although startup costs can vary for, you know, by state and county, there are some key startup costs you might want to consider, even if you're doing just a simple entity, okay? And those costs are things like hiring a good attorney, you know, getting a good attorney, real estate attorney, of course, that is, they may require a retainer, or they may require some upfront fees to get started. You also need a good CPA. Again, I would recommend a CPA who is a real estate investor, who understands what you're dealing with. Then setting up an entity, or it may be a number of entities. It depends on your structure. But for asset protection, that's really key. So whether it's a C corp or S corp or LLC, there are a lot of different structures and entities you have to be aware of, but those cost money to set up as well. You may need a business license. And if you're going to hire employees, even to start off, a lot of people do in the beginning, they build it into their budget for that business. So maybe it's a part-time employee. Maybe it's one of your kids. It's going to help do something on the side, or maybe it's a virtual assistant, but it does make sense depending on your structure to again try to delegate things to free you up to do the things you do best. You also might want to consider the cost of continuing education or maybe getting a coach. You're going to need computer equipment, software, different things like that. And a lot of people don't kind of consider the full costs that are involved. Now, these are all things you can write off, of course, if for starting your real estate business, or even just as an investor. If you don't have ample financial runway to, you know, to pay those startup costs and cover your budget for at least 6 months, your real estate business could, you know, just kind of fizzle away. So if you're going to really set up a major business, then you got to get serious. Either way, though, whether it's a sole proprietor or launching a full-scale business, you will need capital to set it up and to purchase your first properties. Here are 10 funding options, and I kind of call them other options you might not have considered. A lot of people just think, oh, I'm going to go out and get a loan. But there are a number of different ways that you can approach this that can, you know, that can be viable for you. Number one, maintain an income bridge. Okay. And this is, I've said this to a ton of people that are working, that want to be financially independent. Hold on to that job as long as you can, okay? Use your current income to help get your real estate business off the ground. Or you might, you know, maybe even start a side hustle and save the money you earn for your new venture. But this is a great way to get started. And then, you know, some people work part-time, or maybe they look for maybe a change of, maybe they're gonna work, but maybe they're not gonna work in the job that they're currently in. Maybe they'll find something in a related real estate field. For example, you might want to get a job as a realtor. You might want to get your real estate license and start generating income that way by selling houses. I mean, realtors right now are just doing amazing because homes are selling so fast. But you could also be in other areas. You could be maybe get a job with a property management firm, work for somebody in construction or a developer. Maybe get a mortgage loan job or get a job in a bank in the loan department. That would help you to sort of learn a little bit more about what you're doing from a broader perspective of just not just investing, but seeing what goes into funding a loan. What do people look for? In fact, my son Elijah is doing this. He wants to be a real estate investor, but he just recently passed his exam to be a loan officer, a mortgage loan officer. So he's learning the insides and outs of mortgage, and I'm asking him questions and he's answering stuff I didn't even know. So it's great. He's getting that background, and that's going to help him as he starts buying properties and has to negotiate for good deals and so forth on the mortgage front. So that's a cool way to do it. Another one. Okay. And this is kind of an obvious one, and a lot of people do this, is to use your savings. Tapping your savings is the easiest way to finance your real estate investing business. It may take longer to save enough money to get started, but the upside is that you won't give up any control or accumulate debt. Also, if you can downsize or become a minimalist, where you start saving 25 to 50% of your income, then you can start, you know, purchasing properties sooner than you think. So, this is kind of a neat way to do it. If you're saving and you can really just, you know, make some sacrifices for a while. And I'm going to have links to some podcasts of some guests I've had on, and that's exactly how they started. And they launched incredibly successful real estate businesses, and they're all financially independent. So I would definitely go to the show notes on this one, because there's going to be a lot of good links in there. Number three, liquidate valuable assets. Now, if you're willing to sell assets such as real estate, vehicles, a boat or RV, you never use, jewelry, antiques, or other investments, this could be your funding source for your real estate business. While retirement account balances might look tempting, you know, be aware of the downsides, for example, of tapping into those funds. With most retirement accounts, such as 401ks or IRAs, you're restricted from taking early withdrawals and penalized if you're younger than age 59 and a half. There was a COVID window, as some of you may know, and some of you may have taken advantage of it, where you could take out 100K without penalty. Not sure if that's still active, to be honest with you, but if it is, that might be an option too. For traditional accounts, withdrawals are subject to income taxes plus an additional 10% penalty. If you have a Roth account, they offer more flexibility for withdrawing contributions that were previously taxed. However, draining your retirement account is typically a bad idea because it just jeopardizes your future financial security. Number four, borrow from yourself. Now, when you don't have any savings or assets to fund your real estate business, another option is to borrow from yourself. For instance, you might use the equity in your home to qualify for a home equity line of credit or a HELOC or a home equity loan. They typically require at least 20% equity, but come with low interest rates. In Old Dogs podcast episode number 217, James Kandasamy and his wife took out a $50,000 HELOC loan to purchase property in San Antonio, Texas. They leveraged that the purchase of those little single family homes into a personal fortune of $160 million in multifamily properties. So that, you know, that one, I'll have a link to that as well. And you can hear how he did it. Credit cards are another way you can borrow, you know, or at least you're kind of borrowing. If you use a credit card, you're going to be chalking up some interest here, probably pretty hefty rates. So I wouldn't recommend doing that unless you can tie it to some sort of a zero interest short-term type of credit card, where you might get 15 or 18 months interest-free, but you're going to pay it back. Okay. Also, if your retirement plan allows for, you know, a loan, like a IRA or 401k loan, and you can borrow up to, let's say, 50% of your balance or up to $50,000, with a 5-year repayment period, including interest, you know, that could be a good source of funding. Again, tapping a retirement account, you should do that cautiously as sort of a last result. Now, what I would recommend is item number 5, get a self-directed IRA or other retirement account or a solo 401k. Now, I've talked about both of these, and that we have a number of episodes that I'm going to also have links in that'll talk about setting these up. A lot of people think because they have a full-time job that and they don't have a 401k that they can't set up a solo 401k. Well, that's not necessarily true. So you might want to check that those links out. But setting up a self-directed account, if you don't already have one, is one of the best ways to invest tax-free, or should I say tax-deferred. But technically, if it's in your, you know, your retirement account, you may not have to access it until you're in your 70s. But you could build up this huge portfolio of properties all within your self-directed accounts. So I'm gonna put some links in there and show you how to do that, or at least some shows that'll lead you in that direction, without having to pay interest on those loans or be penalized for early withdrawal. So you can access your self-directed money, your retirement accounts, without any kind of penalty there, and you can keep the income and the growth that comes with your portfolio in those accounts. Number 6, take a loan from family and friends or friends and family. This is an area that I just exert cautious. So many small business owners get started this way, as well as many real estate people. And that can be a great way to do this. While they may offer flexible repayment terms or a low interest rate, this option, however, comes with risks, and it could jeopardize your relationship. So again, I'd be cautious there, carefully consider it. If this is the only way you can go, then you might have to go that route. But do it with caution and really think about what would happen if that venture failed. So, and that can always happen. Number 7, apply for a business loan. Now, many banks and credit unions offer business loans to start or expand your venture. A lot of people don't think of this with real estate, that you think of it as setting up a dry cleaners or a donut shop or something like that. But you can also do this to start your real estate business too. And I know you guys have been hearing about the PPP loans and other types of entities out there through the SBA, the Small Business Association. There are still some great loans out there, some of which are forgivable, that can help you get started. Or if you maybe already got started and technically you haven't really bought any properties yet, you can still qualify for some of these loans. So that's also one to consider. Number 8, get a business line of credit. A business line of credit from a bank or credit union allows you to tap into funds up to a limit when you need them for your business. As you repay amounts withdrawn plus interest, your credit line increases to the original amount, which you can continue to use. So this is, again, yeah, they're loans, and I consider it short term. If you're gonna get started, and let's say you're gonna need some cash influx, a lot of people go for the flipping or the wholesale route, where you can borrow some money to either buy a house at the wholesale rate and then resell it, turn it around real quick for a profit, or you buy a home and then you fix it up, which would be the flip, and then you get a chunk of cash from that. But again, as soon as you sell that property, you take the money, you pay off that loan immediately. Along those same lines now, I'm going to put a link in there too, because there's a great guy we had on who heads up, I think it's called Credit Suite, and he teaches you how to build up your business credit faster than you would normally if you just sort of did it the traditional route. So some real good tips that he can offer you, and I'm going to have a link to that show. Number nine, use 0% credit cards. Now, normally I'd say don't do credit cards, but sometimes that may be the only option for you. Well, there are, you know, companies that are set up. One such company that I've worked with in the past called Fund and Grow. There is a fee to do this, but what they basically do is set up a separate business entity. Now, you may have your real estate entity, but then they'll set up another entity, and then they go after business credit cards that have 0% interest for, you know, 12 months, 15, 18, whatever it may be. And it allows you to go, you know, get anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 in credit, you know, available credit that you can use. And again, I emphasize, you know, you have to have a timeline. You've got to know that if you're going to borrow this money, you've got to be able to pay it back. Not a good thing for long-term rental property. It's really, you know, better for flips and you know, quick turn things. You got to know that you're going to get that money. If you borrow $50K, you got to know that you're going to get that $50K back in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, whatever it is. So it's a good option if you can pay it back. But if you're going to end up, you know, having it move from zero interest to 25% interest, you're going to be in trouble. So, okay. And let's do the final one here. Get partner financing. And this is what a lot of real estate people do is, you know, they'll go to REI meetings and other places like that where they'll make contact with people who are interested in investing in real estate and they love the high returns, but they don't want to do all the, you know, the grunt work and the legwork on that. So you can come in as somebody who, for example, hey, I'll research the markets, I'll find the properties, I'll underwrite and do the due diligence. I'll do all the background stuff to find the good properties. If you'll just fund, you know, the purchase of the properties or the purchase of the real estate business in this case. But the idea is that you put in the sweat equity, they put in the cash equity, the cold cash, and that way you work together as a team. And hopefully there are some talents or you know, abilities that that person has that might benefit you. Maybe they're really good, you know, with the accounting side of things or whatever. And so you can work together and grow a very successful company. You know, you do the research, the market, all that kind of stuff, and they would just provide the cash. So that is 10 ways you can finance your real estate investing efforts. I hope that helps you and kind of get some ideas generating in your head of how you can get started. Some of you are probably thinking, man, I can't necessarily get started because I don't have the money. Well, you can get the money. These are some of the ways. I'm also going to have a link to a very popular episode I've had, is how to get started with little or no money down at all. So there are ways to do that. But these are ones that I think are more obtainable and are probably easier to get than trying to find a property, for example, that you know, that you have to negotiate with seller financing and that kind of thing. So that is it, guys. I think once you get to see that you can become a real estate investor, you can start calculating your startup expenses and saving money. Yeah, there are some costs unrelated to buying properties that you do have to cover, and you need to you know, put that money aside for that as well. And you always need to have a reserve account for whatever you're going to do, whether it means, hey, you know, we had no business for 3 months or 6 months. You've got the funds to cover you for that period of time. And when you buy properties, you've got to have those backup accounts too, just in case there's a, you know, a major AC unit or HVAC unit that has to be replaced, or maybe there's a major flood or whatever it may be. You need to be prepared for those kinds of things. Well, that is it for today. Remember, everything that I've talked about today, and there are a lot of links in this show, so hopefully you'll take a look at the show notes and be able to tap into some of those great resources. But you can access our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled 10 Other Ways to Get Real Estate Financing. Well, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.